got a lot of problems when you want to try and find something to do this a minute. There's a lot to take out of it, so we're going to try and cover more of a theme this evening than rather one particular proverb itself. Great, so as has been said, my name is Rob. I kind of head up our kind of student, young people, children kind of ministries here. So if that includes you this evening, and if you are maybe new to one of those categories, you are extra welcome. We are aware that the students have been back into certain yesterday or into certain for the first time. So if you fit into that box, just to let you know that next week we are having dinner before this service. And that happens 5 as a whole group of students. So if that includes you, please join us an hour earlier for dinner. And then we'll be coming into this service here as we have done this evening. But we might not be in here around somewhere else, but we'll explain that next week. And just make yourself known. Make yourself known to people around you, to me, to any of the other kind of pastors and team here. And we'll make sure we do our best to welcome you as well as possible. But as you probably guessed by the screen and behind me, we are kind of continuing in this series of looking at Proverbs, and looking particularly at what it means to gain wisdom, to be on that journey towards gaining godly wisdom. A couple of weeks ago, we kicked off this series by looking at who'd written most of these Proverbs. That was Solomon, who had been given or asked by God what was the one thing he desired, and he asked for this godly wisdom. And these are his kind of notes or his key points that he's written down that help us to make those choices and decisions, even in 2019 in Stirling. So we want to kind of take some of that wisdom, look at the relevance of it today, and apply it into the different contexts and situations that we find ourselves. So to kick off tonight, I would like you just to think about a question that I'm going to give you. You can share it with the person next to you if you like, but you don't have to. But it's more of the answer to the question I would like you to keep in your head. Until we kind of, as we're moving through some of the message and some of the sermon, so that you can think about what does it particularly mean to you. And that question is, what is it that you want to be known for? If you could be known for, let's say, 3 things, what would those be? And just kind of have a think about them and just keep them in your head. So I'm going to give you like 20 seconds just of silence, because I know there's some people that need silence to think. And I'd like to think of 3 things that you would like to be known for. Great. Hopefully you all have an answer or some form of answer. But I ask that question because it's that time of year, it's that the academic year, and whether that's you're a student or a person going back to high school, or even just in the world of work and how we do things. So as a church, we even operate on an academic calendar. And all of a sudden, we're at that time of year where there's new routines coming into place. We're getting back into the routines that over summer have maybe got a little bit lost and a little bit disrupted. And it's often at these times that we're encouraged, mainly in my life by teachers that I remember telling me that I need to use my time wisely. And if I use my time wisely, what I am aiming for or what I am striving for will be more of a success than if I don't. I remember one particular history teacher at my high school back in Yorkshire who used to come up with a famous line of fail to prepare and prepare to fail. And this was the thing that at the beginning of every year and every term, he would like write on the board and he would keep repeating. And it's this whole idea that we have to think ahead, we have to think through what we choose to do with our time, because it does have consequences and it does mean that it has an effect on our life. So tonight we're going to be continuing to think about this journey of understanding wisdom, what it means to have that wisdom, but specifically in how we spend our time and what we choose to do with it and what that means. But I think first of all, before we jump straight into what Proverbs has to say, we need to have a think about what we're actually spending our time on. So I Google imaged, because you know that's where all the best statistics come from. What does an average day look like for most adults? So, you know, Samson, of course, are the people that are going to come up with this data. So Samson were creating a new smartwatch, the G3, and they wanted to work out what does the average adult do with their time during the day, and to be able to make this watch as useful and as needed as possible, I suppose. So from Samson's point of view, they wanted their watch to be used a lot. So they did a survey. They looked at kind of what does a snapshot of the average Brit spend their time doing. And what they discovered was that firstly, we are major multitaskers. But also there are kind of certain things that we do. So this is for a lifetime of an adult. So, you know, 17 years and 41 days sleeping, that sounds pretty good to me, like constant back to back. Not quite sure that's how they mean it. And other things were obviously working in there, commuting, and watching TV, and 299 days of expressing emotions, apparently. That was quite a lot of emotions expressed. 1 year and 144 days exercising, cleaning, and obviously social media is on there. But what I'm very aware of, this is just a snapshot that they took. This will look different for everybody, for your time and your stage of life. And obviously we know that our kind of the generations that are coming up now are living in a digital age, and therefore their social media use, their online use, even the way they communicate is forever changing. So it's really interesting when we think about how we use our time. For every person in this room, it's gonna look different. And I kind of just wanna put it out there straight away. I know that, and I'm not trying to create a model that like fixes or fits with everybody. So also the other thing that I want to say at this point is that I want to make sure that people are aware that what I'm not saying here is that we just need to fill all of our time with stuff, and that actually sleeping for 17 years is too much, especially when it comes to church and Christian stuff. We can very easily fill all of our time and all of our days doing programs and sessions, and we think that's going to help us reach this goal of being more wise. But hopefully what we're going to look at tonight will help you realize that it's not all about the programs and the sessions that you attend, even though those can be important. And also, before we dive into Proverbs, I want to set a framework up for what are we striving to do with this time. So we know from this famous verse in John 10:10 that Jesus says that the thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. It doesn't say that Jesus came to steal and destroy and to take all of our time and for us all to be in a church building all of the time and really boring. It says that he came that we may have life and have it abundantly. So as we look through tonight what it means to use our time in a certain way that's wise, I want us to think about what do we use our time for that makes our life abundant, that gives us life to the full and life full of joy. Because we know that Jesus didn't go to the cross to make us slaves to his work. He went to the cross so that we could be free to live our lives with a choice to honour him, witnessing and showing others this life. So how do we make sure, or how do we think through some key questions and key kind of filters, I suppose, that help us think about are we living and using our time well and wisely? So over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at what wisdom is and why it's so important to the Christian lifestyle. So as we go to look and delve into Proverbs this evening, what I want to say is that we need to have that lens on, that idea of we're looking at this from the perspective of time and how we use it and how that helps us to become more wise and walk in the ways that God wants us to. So the first thing that I want us to think about in terms of how do we use our time is this idea of commitment. So Proverbs 10 verse 4 and 5 says, "A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame." So I want you to imagine here when they're talking about a slack hand, the description that they're using is the idea that each of us have a bow and arrow. Okay? Bear with me. So, key things that you need to make sure that your bow is before you want to shoot the arrow is that it's tight, that the string or the wire that you're attaching the bow to isn't slack. Because if it is, no matter how hard you try to point it at the target, to aim for the direction that you're going, the arrow is simply going to come out the end and fall on the ground in front of you. You're not going to reach the target or use the time wisely for what you're hoping for. And also the other thing is the positioning of your hand. So if you decide that you're going to go and do archery one day and you're not really bothered about hitting the target very well, and you just kind of like hold on really loosely, again, the arrow is not going to fire in the direction that you're hoping it to. So the description he uses here is that it's this idea of a loose bow that's pulled with a slack hand, meaning that what happens is that the arrow's not on target, it's not where it's meant to be, and you're not using your time wisely. When it talks about rich and poverty in here as well, just a kind of quick thing, we're not talking financially here, we're talking again about that John 10:10 passage, what it looks like to have life and have it in abundance. So it's talking here about quality of life, or that life and that connection, that relationship that you have with Jesus. And we're also given here in verse 5 an example or a very early parable of what this looks like. We're given to the example of two sons. So a prudent son who goes and he gathers in the summer as he's meant to. He uses that time wisely in the summer when the fruit is ripe, when the harvest is ready. And this would have meant that, that when Solomon was writing, that son would have been an accolade to his family, to the people that he worked for how he was using his time. That would have been seen as wise and a good use of it. But also then we're given the example of a son who sleeps during the harvest and who brings shame. Now when it says sleep here, what it's talking about is the idea of a sleep that is so deep and that he has no idea what's going on around him. So I want you to imagine a modern day example of when people are so engrossed in something or so focused on something that they don't see or hear anything else that's happening around them because they're so focused on this one thing and they're not thinking about and what's happening around them, what they can do for other people and what kind of witness that is having to the people around them. Now, when we think about something, or we think about where we're going to spend our time on something, is this something that we are thinking in the long term we're going to give our all to? I'm thinking of an example when I was in my kind of late teens, I was kind of doing my A-levels at high school, kind of standard grades, no highers and advanced highers, and the school I was at were also offering kind of additional kind of courses, things that were meant to kind of promote or improve your kind of UCAS application for uni. And one of them they were offering was on a particular subject that I was quite interested in. So I was looking when I was 18 to go to university to study kind of environmental science and geography and that kind of thing. And they were offering kind of this additional course on this subject. So I was like, great, this is, can only be a good thing. Just more work, probably. That sounds great. So I applied and I got onto this kind of extra course. And basically each month you had to submit like a reflection or an essay or kind of some short piece of homework, let's say. And I remember thinking, that's fine, like I'll just do it as we get nearer to the time, and I'll just do it as we get nearer to the time. And it got closer and closer and closer to each of these deadlines. And as it got closer and closer to each of them, I spent less and less time doing the work that I needed to do. And what we saw then was that each time I got feedback or results back, my grades went down and down and down and down. What happened was I ended up not completing because I used every excuse under the sun not to do this thing. And then looking back, what I see there is that I hadn't thought about the commitment level that that would take in terms of my time to achieve that well and to do that well. I hadn't thought about what else was happening in life. I hadn't thought about the other studies I was doing. And therefore, when it came to thinking about using my time wisely, that probably wasn't one of the wisest decisions I made. And therefore, that resulted in the end impact of not finishing very well or not working very well with the organization that were providing it. So that's the first one. Think about commitment. When it comes to putting our time to something, are we willing to make that commitment and make that time commitment to achieve well and to use that wisely? The second one, think about what's upright. So we read also in Proverbs 15:10 that the way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. So what do you think of when we think of a hedge of thorns? What it's talking about here is an impassable obstruction that pricks and pains as you move through it. So here we see a sluggard, a person wanting to achieve their goal, but he's prevented from doing so by different things. Compare that with the highway that it talks about here, built up, prepared, and cleared of obstacles to facilitate travel. Sounds like quite an easy choice on which one you'd want to take. But does that mean that being a Christian will be easy and make everything straightforward? Unfortunately not. It means that sometimes when trying to do things our own way, it can be difficult, especially if we know what is happening can be hurtful to others. So for me, when looking at this, what I see and read about is that when we choose to take things into our own hands, when we choose to make our own decisions, not really think through them properly, maybe we know it's not the right decision to be making, but we still do it anyway, for whatever reason, what we see is obstacles and different things coming in our way that make it even more difficult for that to happen, or more difficult for us to lead that wise life and use that time wisely that we're looking for. And what does it mean to spend that time to find the upright and level highway? Well, for me, it's about spending time praying, reading God's word, and thinking through what is the right decision to make. For example, if you want to be known as a person, if one of those words that you decided at the beginning was a person who knows God's word and understands God's word, however, you find that if you start watching YouTube, time just disappears from you, and before you know it, hours have gone, There may be a reminder in there to think about the consequences of our choices. Are those second or minute decisions that you're making to watch that one video leading to you losing hours of your day when there's other things that you could be doing that would be more upright and would be more wise in terms of seeking that wisdom? Do we make our lives more like a hedge of thorns to achieve what we want to, what we'd like to achieve? Or do we make it a level highway by some of the choices and the decisions that we make, even from the moment that we wake up, in terms of how we're going to face the day and what we're going to focus on? So thinking about the commitment that it takes, thinking about what's the upright decision or the right decision to make in that circumstance. And thirdly, thinking about the long road. So we see in Proverbs 27, verse 18, that it says, "Whoever tends a fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who guards his master will be honoured." Here we're given a true-to-life metaphor that explains several truths to us about what it means to tend well, about this long journey, about this commitment that we've talked about. So it shows us that a fig tree, just so you know, was the most highly valued tree in Israel. So someone who was tendering it, someone who was guarding it, was protecting it, providing it, is a sure sign of what it means for us to follow Jesus. That idea is that we tend to it, it's a long process. We work through it step by step, it takes time. It's not a quick fix and a quick solution. We also know that a fig tree, or the figs in particular, do not develop quickly, but actually they're a fruit that take a slow and steady process to grow until the fruit is fully ripe. Again, it's not an overnight fix. It's not a one day they're ready, one day they're not ready, the next day they're not. It's a slow process, and it's that vital moment you choose to take that fig off the tree is really important. It takes time, and those who wait will be rewarded with the goodness of the fruit. So again, thinking about our time and the choices that we're making, and we're not looking here for quick fixes. We're not saying that there are instant things that we can do. But actually, we want to see long-standing wisdom in our lives and long-standing wisdom in the decisions that we make. Spending time over the decisions that we make, the time, how we spend it, making choices that last a lifetime and continue to make day-by-day decisions and day-by-day choices, going to mean that the reward we receive for that, whether that is being known for what we want to be known for, whether that is the reward that we ultimately see in heaven, is going to be something that takes time and that we need to continuously be working at. But what we also see here is he who guards his master will be honoured. So a servant should value his lord as highly as a farmer prizes his fig tree. It's an interesting description there when we think about if we are those servants to God, if we are those people who have chosen to follow him, have chosen to make those daily decisions, how are we repeatedly, daily spending time with him, making those choices about how we spend our time, what we look at, what we don't look at, what we focus on, what we don't focus on. Because what we're saying is that we should be valuing that relationship, valuing that time with God, valuing that commitment as much as we read about this farmer prizing his fig tree in this small parable. Because we know that the reward is worth it. And we know that when that farmer finally gets that fig that is ripe and is ready, he knows that the time that he spent has been worth it in that waiting. But this is also a reminder of why this series is called A Journey of Wisdom. We haven't called this, you know, tomorrow you will have wisdom. This is something that will take time and will be a process. And this is not something that we expect to gain overnight, but will take time and patience. However, if we continue on that journey, continue making those right decisions and that right, spending the right time on the right things, we'll see God move and at work in our lives. What does this mean for each of us? So if we take that pie chart that we looked at at the beginning, and I was to ask you to draw your own, and in each section, and talk about what you're spending the average time of your life on daily, what would your pie chart look like? What would be the big yellow area that's taking up most of your time? If you were to just split it into three sections really simply and talk about spending time with work, spending time at work or sleep or with family, where would your God section be? Where would the time that you spend time in his word, where you spend time praying, where you spend time studying his word, or even in church and building that relationship, which of these sections would it be? Is it as big as you think it should be? Or do you think it could be bigger? And you need to think practically through what that means for you. So back to that question at the beginning. What is it that you want to be known for? Because here in the book of Proverbs, we're given these nuggets of wisdom, as I called them in the first week, these golden nuggets to help us understand and to seek this wisdom and what it means to be following God's plan and purpose for our lives. Because how we choose to spend our time will impact on our journey with Jesus. And there's a quote that I want to share with you this evening from John Wimber, who is the founder of the Vineyard Movement. And he says, "Show me where you spend your time, your money and energy, and I'll tell you what you worship." And it's this thought that I want to leave you on. What does spending your time on tell us about your personal relationship with Jesus? Thinking back to what it is that you want to be known for, is it these things that you are worshipping, or is it that relationship with Jesus that as Christians we seek each time? Because as he says, show me where you spend your time and I'll tell you what you're worshipping. So it's not just evident to you, it's also evident to the people around you, the people that you work with, that you study with, your friends and your family. They will know what you're about, they'll know what you're for and what you're not for by what they see in you do each and every time. And the encouragement that we see in Proverbs is that we need to make that commitment. We need to spend that time thinking about it, looking at the long road and not the quick fixes. And we also need to think about what is it that God is saying to us in his word, in that time that we're spending with him, about what the right choices and the right decisions are for either of us. So we're just going to pray. The band are going to come back up. And we're going to spend time just in one last song thinking about that relationship. Where are we? What is it that you want to spend more time on? And what is it that you could be spending better time on to develop that relationship? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your reminder of how we should be spending our time. Father, I thank you that for each person in this room that will look different, that there is not a model or a mode in which we should follow, but actually there are specific things that you call each of us to spend time on to build our relationship with you. I thank you that you've created us each uniquely, and that for each of us it looks different for us to spend time with you and spend time developing that relationship. And I pray you would continue to challenge us, we'd continue to be open to that challenge, and that in each of our lives we would see where there are areas where we can continue to grow in that relationship and that understanding of you. We thank you for your word, for the wise words that we're given in Proverbs, and we pray we would continue to read them, continue to see new things, and we continue to be daily challenged by what you have for each of us. In your name.